Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Anhotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 live coming to you this Monday. How is everyone doing this evening? I hope you're doing fine. And how are the children? I hope they're fair to middling as well. We want to welcome those newcomers to the Care to Read Room and let you know that we are a family and consumer science room. We are underwritten by Project 2019. Our main concern is to close the gap for African Americans so that they can begin to acquire higher level knowledge by the year of 2012, to be exact, is the date that we would have been out of slavery for over 400 years. And that is a targeted date that we're hoping to get more African Americans trained and in some type of higher level education, be it through literacy, be it through academic baccalaureate degrees, associate or master's degrees. We're urging you to find a way to get enrolled in school and obtain credentials, because we know that when you obtain credentials, it's far difficult for someone to become racist to you and exclude you from the job market. You have better chances of getting the job when you are credentialed. We know that. And that is what the Project 2019 is all about. Chuck Sanford created Project 2019. His whole mission is to create chapters throughout the United States. I am now serving as the executive, national executive director over Project 2019. I no longer run the chapter in Indiana. However, I am overseeing and assisting the gentleman that just recently took over. We'd like for all of you churches to consider having a chapter in your church, one that will create the Rites of Passage program for your youth, as well as a Rites of Passage program for your elders. We want all churches to understand that every young person should be given a name. There should be a name ceremony going on in all the churches where the children acquire an African name, as well as acquire the rites of passage so that they can be initiated. Who gives you the right to speak? Who initiated you is the question. The uninitiated should not be speaking or saying anything. So all youth need to be initiated. So parents, if you are inquisitive about the initiation process, please do call in at this line at 646-478-0270. This is the Care to Read Room, and we are focusing in on being young, gifted, and black, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It is a privilege to be young, and you're fortunate, young people, so we focus in on that topic this month. However, ladies and gentlemen, we will be working with the new project next month on redemption of the African Americans, and we're going to bring about some of the information today that we want to speak on, something that's a little different from Imhotep coming to visit us. We're going to do some things working with Umoja and working with the Spirit, and talking about the Orisha, one of them in particular, Obatala. That is my father who's on my head, Obatala. I'd like to give you a little description about Obatala and who Obatala is. He is an Orisha. Orisha are the deities that are expressions of God, and there are seven of them that we usually work with, and 260 Odus. Now, I'm going to give you a few descriptions about Obatala, and please, for you, for your own interest, find out who's on your head and who's your mother as well, your father and your mother. Obatala happens to be my father. Obatala, ladies and gentlemen, can you say that? Obatala. Obatala created human beings by melting them out of clay, ladies and gentlemen. So now you see that God did not create the human being according to the African story. God gave the breath of life to the human being, but Obatala, he molded and sculpted the clay. He carved out the arms, the legs, and the back and the toes, and he also created a few imperfections, such as the humpback, the albino, the deaf, and the mute. He didn't do this by accident. It wasn't a trick of his old sculpturing wood carving knife. He intentionally created the hunchback and the cripple and the mute because he wanted them for his worshipers. He wanted to remind them that they must be responsible for worshiping him. Okay? And so their parents, they were not worshipers. So he selected parents and families who had no affiliate with worshiping and chose those families to bring the birth of a hunchback albino and mute child. So he owns all of the children. He loves all the children. Nevertheless, Obatala, the creator, he is patient, ladies and gentlemen. He's silent without anger or pronounces his judgment with quietness. He's distant, and his eyes rest on the town. He's watching all the time. He kills the initiate, and he raises him up to life. He's playful like death and carries the child away. He rides the hunchback all the time. He spreads out his arms on the back and rides the hunchback. He stands by the children. He lets them succeed in life, and he laughs with the children. He loves to laugh. He loves to bring about laughter. He rests in the skies like a swarm of bees, and the poor old poverty, he rests on them. Obatala, he takes the clot of blood and makes a clot of blood into children. He comes and creates the child in the belly of the womb. He is also the deity or the Orisha who will also preside over the burial of any woman in the African tribe that dies during childbirth. Obatala, he's the man in white. He is considered the great god. Ladies and gentlemen, Obatala, we will acknowledge him through libation today, and I will be giving you more description of Obatala. Pause with me as we do our libation. And we say we honor libation for Obatala today. My father's spirit, he's on my head, and I say Obatala Ashe. Yamanja, we will not be given a description of today, but we pour libation in honor of Yamanja, the Lady of the River. We acknowledge Obatala today, and we say Obatala is the father of the children. And we honor him today, and we acknowledge him. And ladies and gentlemen, will you pause with me for a minute? As we begin to get ready to do the libations for the traditional libation, the libation that we pour from the east to the west, from the north to the south, and those libations are poured because we are in the process of getting, getting things together for you for Obatala. And Imhotep will not be here today, so don't even worry about him coming to join us. He will not be here today. And we are going right into our procession afterwards, and we will continue with the reading of our stories from the lily pad today. So we want to welcome everyone and say thank you for joining us, because we know you could have frequented any room today. And we want to remind you that it's very important that we acknowledge our Orishas and talk about them and give you tidbits about the Orishas and let you understand who they are. Now, we pour libations to the east and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the west and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the north and we say Ashe. We pour libations to the south and we say Ashe. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give you some other descriptions of our Orisha. And as I told you, there are seven that we mainly work with, and there's 260 Odus. And these are divinations that are given to the Babalawos to read. Obatala, father of the whiteness. Obatala, the supreme creator. Obatala, the force that rules the head of Ori. That's right, he's the force that rules the head of Ori. It is from his head that the body receives the instruction and acts according. Obatala, the cool intellectual force that keeps the balance. Obatala gives wisdom. Obatala gives understanding. Obatala keeps emotion intact. Obatala, the dynamic force that has given us the ability to create and recreate. Oyetunja is our living, breathing, working testimony to the greatness of the father of Obatala. Obatala. And ladies and gentlemen, from time to time, I will be giving you more information on the Orishas. And I want you to know that these are connected to the planet as well. When all of this was done, it was well, well thought out. And Obatala is connected to one of the most important planets, the largest planet from Rome, named it Jupiter. Obatala, father of the gods, represents the heavens by the largest planet in the universe and the larger planet of all planets, that is Jupiter. Obatala, the father of the white cloth. Remember, the men wear the white cloth, the women wear the opaque beads and the leglets that are white. Son of Odunama Re, the supreme energy number is 8. The number is 8 for Obatala. It's symbolic of expansion, the higher mind, the wisdom, the enthusiasm, optimism, spontaneously benevolent, generosity, desire to gain through experience, and improve in the state of things. Obatala represents opportunity and increasing reward and abundance, and tolerance, charity, philanthropy, and the ethics, father of confidence and inspiration, justice, loyalty, jovialness, self-indulgent, and extravagant, and the father of the universe. Obatala is the one that sculptured the human being and mounted them with clay. So if you have any understanding of the creation story, you will know that the breath of life came from Oladulamare, and Obatala mounted the bodies and created each and every one of us according to the African story. Now, this is your African story. Embrace it. Take it for yourself and go out and research it and do more researching about the descriptions of the Orishas and find out who's on your head and who's your mother and who's your father. Ladies and gentlemen, I did do a reading for the African Americans, and I gave a little summary of the fact that there are many people that want to rule today, and no one's listening to anyone, and everyone wants their own way, and everyone has their own mission. But there could only be one rulership and one version, one leadership, and all of the Africans believe in speaking in one voice. So we are going to have to come up with how we can believe in the mission of one leader and follow one leader without hearing all the voices. And right now, there are many voices that are being heard and so many people going astray. Now, I want to also acquaint you to the fact that we're still talking about to be young, gifted, and black. And in talking about being young, gifted, and black, we are finding out that there are some advantages in being young and gifted and black. Now, if you're out there and you're youth and you know what those advantages are and you have seen those advantages and experienced them, why don't you call in this evening and share that with this listening audience and talk about your benefit and what you've gotten because of the fact that you're young. 646-478-0270. Call in now. Our chat rooms are open, and you're welcome to come in to talk. And I'll be hosting both of them today. A little difficult, but I'll manage, unless we have some young, brave soldiers out there that would like to come in and be a co-host in our chat room. It is now open. Now, what is the benefits of being a young person? How do you obtain the benefits of being young? What are some of the benefits? The benefits are young people are given more favor. They're given more favor, and that's a fact. So it is some benefits in being a young person. The main important thing is, what are you doing with yourself these days? What are you doing with your benefits? Are you letting your benefits go to waste? Most young people don't even know they have benefits, and they tend not to use them. But I would like for you to use your benefits and being young and black and having opportunities to get involved in writing. This is the writing workshop, and we have been talking about how you can write your own material and how you can start your own writing production. I started a writing production called The Lily Pad, and I have several short stories and audiobooks on tape that I will be sharing with you so that these will become landmarks and they will become segments of my book. And when they're out on the market, I hope you will patronize me, ladies and gentlemen, and buy my materials because they are for the family. They're basically focusing in on issues of the family. Now, I'd like to also say that if you are interested in coming in to talk about your writing, it doesn't have to be about any particular thing, anything you've written that you would like to talk about that possibly could be going to playwright. Or if you want someone to take a look at it, if you think it's good enough that you would want to make it into a play, that's fine. Short stories are good. Narratives are good. Now, right about now, I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to tell you get your dancing shoes on because we're going to go over to listen to one of the segments from the Lily Pad. That's right. Yours truly has written again, and I'd like for you to hear. But let's just take a break now so we can stretch out a little bit. Get those dancing shoes on and let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got a chance to stretch out a little bit, and I hope you're not sitting in there looking all tight in the face and tight in the jaws. We're going to go over to our listening center and talking to you about the Writer's Workshop. We had a fantastic time last week, ladies and gentlemen. We did a special co-hosting. We partnered with the National Global Conference, and one of the things that they put out was Louder Than a Bomb, and that was one of those poetry slams that we helped to partner with them when they did their conference. And the workshop is available. You can go online, and it is recorded 24 hours around the clock, and there is information on the workshop, seminars, and webinars. Now, we also talked about we're going to be doing a poetry slam during the month of December, and we're going to pick probably the I said the first day of December, but it may be the 21st because I've used both dates. So it's probably going to be the 21st that we're going to open up the room again to a poetry slam. And it's going to be louder than a bomb. That's right. So you want to get your poetry ready. Now, we also did a special segment this Saturday where we invited people to come in, and I did a dedication to young people who were going into the courtship or engagement. And I also talked about your trades and your arts and doing poetry as a profession. Now, you might want to go out and listen to that video listen to that recording. That was a special one. Now, we're going to go right into our segment on the writing from the lily pad. This segment is a segment dealing with the spirits. When I first started to write about the Diary of the Black Angel. And you will notice that I am being entertained and talked to by angels and spirits. Listen up. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
While Omiinka is entertaining angels, can't you hear them? Their voices are in the air. They're everywhere. Oh, and if you hear them, don't fear them. Just revere them. While Omiinka entertain angels. Listen. Don't be afraid. The angels are everywhere. They've been a part of Omiinka's life. And they can be a part of your life too. Only if you can receive them. Listen. You'll be able to hear them. And hear them too. Angels entertain Omiinka. Thank you. choosing. Just pull the veil back and review them. Angels watching over you and me.
Another segment of the Lily Pad. That was just the introduction to give you a feel for the topic of the title, The Diary of Black Angels. This whole series incorporates a biography, an autobiography of people that have entered into my life. Throughout my life, I have entered into conversations with angels and people who were sent in my life to bring about a bridge over troubled waters. So as you listen, these are people that have come into my life who represent angels.
What? Who said that? You said that, your ancestors, your angels, your guardian angel. It's time for you to pray. Get in the position of prayer. Get in the position of prayer. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. I gotta get out of here. I gotta go. Praise you for your life. You're kind of confused, aren't you? Ancestors, is that you? Ancestors, are you talking to me again? I believe I'm hearing ancestors. And I didn't even know what to do about Lewis. But I figured he would just give up and go away. But he would. On, kept on, until he finally came on campus one day, talking to me about our relationship. And I just got all undid, and I just finally said, this is it. You have to break it off. Finally, I got through to him. And he realized that I was serious, that there was nothing else to pursue with the relationship. I got serious with Willie. He gave me some space. I needed that space. I was trying to get my... And besides that, I was somewhat a brainiac. I was always into my books and studying, trying to keep my grades up. And with a man out of my life, I was free to work hard and keep my grades high. I even made the dean's list, and eventually they awarded me a scholarship for outstanding grades. That was because I didn't have a man fooling with my head and messing with me all the time and confusing me. He was away. Working, making money. I could see him when I wanted to. I could elect to call him when I wanted to. I didn't have to bother about every weekend plans and doing things with him.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to invite you in with your short stories. I want to stop for a minute and talk to you about the benefit of going online to find software to write, to type your own books, and to create your own page, as well as the content. There's so many programs out there nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, that you can begin to publish for yourself. And as a writer's workshop, I want to implore you that whatever you write, short stories or articles, there's a place for it. And now there is even a catalog where you can list all of your articles and put covers on them and include pictures from downloading to uploading. Now, how many of you out there are considering getting involved in short stories right now? If you are, you should start early and start putting things together so you can write something and create a book for Christmas and then sell it and give the book away as well to your family. Now, who wants to hear about your story? You're probably saying everybody's got one good story in them to tell. Now, this book that I'm doing, The Autobiography of the Black Angels, is my life story, and it incorporates all of the people that I met or that I can think of that were instrumental in my life who made a difference and a change in my life. Now, whether or not you want to hear it later on when I transition and go on, my children certainly want to hear it. So you can write for the benefit of your children, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't have to be for a bestseller's market. It could be for your family. I primarily focus in on family issues, so I'm writing for the family. And we like to welcome this guest to the chat room, and we say hello. And if you'd like to come in and speak, you can. Thank you for joining us in the chat room. Number 53193, welcome to the chat room. Welcome. And we are talking about writers in this room. We just came out of a workshop, a national global conferencing partnership where we did a workshop. And one of the things they did in the area of oratory was to work with the poets here in Chicago. It was a poet slam called Louder Than a Bomb. And you better believe that those young people were bringing it. Now, oratory is a part of writing, too. When you learn to speak, it's just like learning to read and write. It's a very, very important part of your communicating. Now, for those of you out there that are eager to read your poetry, now's the time to come in. You can even read your poetry this evening, if you like, with the short time that we have left. If you have a short poem, you can bring that in. And we're urging you December the 21st to get your work together. Hello to the next person that just came in here, 53193. How are you? And we would like to urge you to come in the chat room. Not only come in the chat room, come in and speak. I get people that are emailing me all the time. Don't forget my show. Don't forget my show. Well, I'm going to tell you right up front, don't forget my show. You know, I try and go and frequent everyone's show and sit there and listen and leave comments, but then I have to beg people to come in this room. What is going on and what is up with that? You know, one hand washes the other. So when you come and visit Omi, Omi will come and pay you a visit. Now, I have lots of followers that I follow, and I try to get in your room, but some of you are following me, so you ought to try to come and get in this room and listen to what I have to say as well. So we're going to also say that I want to thank you for being here with us this evening, and I would like to urge you to go out to the National Globals Workshop, the symposium that was held last week. It was a whole week around the clock. You can go and frequent all of those seminars, workshops, symposium. There's musical shows, all types of educational shows. For you educators, go out there, please, and find something that you can introduce to your class. Now, this is an educational class where we focus in on literacy. I don't know how many of you can't read out there, but if there's anyone that needs someone to mentor them or to assist them in tutoring, teachers, I want to urge you to become tutors and help those young people who are having a difficult time reading. Because that's why we created the Care to Read Room. We create literature in print and materials that educate and can help the families to communicate. We are an African-centered room. Now, Umoja, I said we were going to focus in on Umoja. With Thanksgiving coming up, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that African-Americans have no business celebrating Thanksgiving as the name called Thanksgiving. But there's a lot to be thankful for under Umoja. We want to celebrate the first harvest, the first fruit, and us having our health and our strength, and also us having food on our table. We want to acknowledge Umoja. Not Thanksgiving, where the pilgrims plotted and schemed to kill off Native Americans. We do not advocate the killing of all those Native Americans, but we certainly do advocate getting together, having fellowship, and breaking bread together. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to start off our thanks early this month. I know on Thursday is when we're going to celebrate it, but I want to give thanks to Oludulema Ray for bringing us understanding of African theology and African culture. I'm thanking Oludulema Ray for giving me the ability to try to study on my own and be self-taught in the ways of our forefathers so I can bring information to you so that when we sit down to the table of peace as African American and other cultures, the brown man, the black man, the Caucasian man, we want to sit down in knowing that we all have a place here in society and we must all acknowledge every one of our prophets. So we acknowledge Oludulema Ray today and we acknowledge Oromola and Obatala because it's important for us to understand that every race of people must have a culture, and they must be able to practice their culture, and they must be able to have input on the rituals and traditions of their forefathers. Now, some of you are probably cringing when we talk about African tradition and Bush people. I don't want you to think Bush people. I want you to think that these were royal ancient ones that came from the Twa people that were affiliated with some Native American. Native American people truly were engulfed with African people at a time when African slaves were running away. The Native Americans, some of them who were not slave drivers, because there were many of them who were, but those who weren't, the Africans entrusted their lives with some of those Native Americans, and they lived amongst each other. The reason why I know that is because my family lived amongst them, and they were French Indian, and they interbreeded with the Native Americans. Now, for those of you who just want to say I'm half Indian, I'm part Indian, look at my hair, that is ludicrous. That's not the reason I'm saying this. I'm saying this because right now, the Native Americans are becoming extinct. Their children are being taken away from them, and they're becoming extinct. And as you celebrate Thanksgiving this year and this season, I want you to think about all of those young Native Americans who are on the reservation and who are being tortured and who are being molested. Some of the children are being hurt. And we have to understand that every time you have a holiday, if it's for commercial reasons to make money and to sell things at the expense of hurting other people, we have to bring about the truth when we have a platform. And that's why we have this platform, so we can bring out the truth. Native Americans out on the reservations have to truly have their freedom. And those who are molesting and hurting them needs to stop. They need to stop it. Because this Thanksgiving, as we sit around the table, we'll be saying Umoja. Umoja, it is an African Kiswahili word meaning coming together, bringing your first fruit, like Kujichagulia, the ability to name for yourself, to decide for yourself, and to determine who your enemies will be. And that's the thing I want to say. Don't let anyone determine who your enemies will be, not even me. Don't let no one tell you these are your enemies and give you manufactured enemies. You have to try to create peace. And that's what this Thanksgiving is about, creating peace, bringing about harmony, and trying to find a reason to forgive someone. There's much to forgive people for these days, I know. There's a lot of violence in the world, a lot of angry people who are violently perpetrating fraud and using their authority to hurt others. But we have to continue to pray for our brothers who use us and who purposely abuse and hurt. We have to pray because they will not always be in operation. They will not always have authority. But we have to pray and ask God to vindicate our adversary. Those pilgrims who sat down at the table and who came here to the United States and claimed the land that Native Americans and Africans were already on, they were wrong, and they need to extend an apology because Christopher Columbus, he did not discover any America, and the pilgrims, when they got here, there were already people here. The history books now read that, and some of them are changing. And for the benefit of the young people who are listening, you must understand that the history books have to be corrected. So you will understand that the African American and the Native Americans who were already here, they were landed on by Plymouth Rock, and Plymouth Rock landed on them. They did not discover this America. This land is the land of the free for everyone to acknowledge. And I don't know why so many other outstanding refugees who don't live in, who were not here to build this country, who have more advantages and more opportunities and given more favor than some of the African Americans who slaved here and helped to build the country. Now, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we want to acknowledge that. And I hate to say this, but you got a lot of people who have brought dope into this land and who have their own countries, and they continue to bring dope into this land, and yet they're saying they're the hardest workers. Well, there couldn't have been any harder workers than the commodity of slaves, because we were the ones that manufactured the number one product, and that was the cotton from the cotton gin. And we produced labor, and we produced the economy that was needed for a manufacturing process so that the South could be rich. The South was filthy rich because they had slaves that they could sell out and rent out, and they had property. So you're looking at a country who benefited off the backs of slaves because of the fact that they were able to utilize slaves like a walking master or Visa card. So I want you to understand this Thanksgiving, that there was a lot that went wrong under colonization, a lot that went wrong under pressuring people into becoming Christians. A lot of people were killed. It was only 20% Christians who worshiped on their own. The remaining of those were slaughtered into submission to become Christians. So this Puritan idea that was laid on the table was not always a Puritan idea for all people to prosper. It was for some to prosper and for those others to suffer. So there was a lot of suffering that went on during Thanksgiving. I want you to be mindful of this, and I want you to understand that as you sit down at your table, I want you to know that there were some that were molested, that were not able to sit down at the table of feasting and gathering of their leavened bread. I want you to know also that there's some Native Americans that are still out in the highways and byways and still are being molested and still cannot live on their land without having someone to take advantage of them. Now, those of you know who you are. We don't have to even mention you, but it's very important to print the truth, and that doctrines will be written in history that will tell the truth. People's eyes are being opened now, and they're aware of all these things happening, and they're conscious. So they no longer want to sit at the table under brotherhood consumption, knowing that there were riots, there was ruthlessness, and there were all types of raping and massacres, all during the Crusades. The Crusades that the Christians brought about a lot of bloodshed. And as we look back and say, well, why aren't you a Christian? And the question is, why are you a Christian? Because Crusades brought about a lot of death. And it was not, if Christianity was based on the Crusade, then a lot of people became Christian based on the sweat and the death of a lot of people. So, Africans, why not embrace your own religion? Why not embrace your own African theology? It's a beautiful one. As I told you the story of Obatala being the father of the clay and being the sculpturer of the humpback and the albino and the mute, because he wanted to create worshipers that they would be reminded to worship him because their parents had forgot about worshiping him, so he crippled their children. These are stories from African concept. And as they go on, Obatala being the father of the universe, creating all human beings with God, Oludulamare, who breathed the life of breath into them. Now, these are